In what respect is this shaking of your cholent? In a cholent, you throw in all sorts of ingredients, and you're not really sure how it's going to turn out at the end. Okay? Now, of course, they say that it depends on the guests. So in this case, it may very well be that it depends on you, so you better watch yourself. You better hope that this cholent is going to come out good. So let's begin by throwing in the ingredients. There are really going to be two parts to this year. The first part is not a cholent. The first part is pretty straightforward, clear. The second part may become cholenty, you know, for it may very well be my luck that the shoe will be over by the time I finish part one. So then you have no problem. All right. Pasha Bamidbar. And I just want to know, for technical reasons, I just want you to know, just don't tell your friends. One of the great things my wife had me do some years ago was buy a Xerox machine. Don't come to my house to have anything Xerox. Don't even dream of it. And you know, as I'm preparing the shear, I'm able to put together the sauces. My Xerox machine went on blink and it can't come to fix it until this afternoon. So it's not the way I would have wanted it. You know, it's usually a work of art. It's not a work of art today.
But anyway, that tune
could be a work of major art. Okay, here's the kishir. Let's go, first. In Parshas Bamidbar, the Jewish people are counted. It is the second year in the desert in the second month. It's the month of Iyar. The second year, the year 2449 from creation, a year after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The plan, as it now stands, the plan is that Klal Yisrael are preparing to march directly into Eretz Yisrael. And in Parashiyot Bamidbar, Naso, and Baha'amotcha, all of the preparations that are necessary for that great march into Eretz Yisrael are taken care of. Number one, the Jewish people are counted. There's a census taken in Parashat Bamidbar. By the way, there's going to be another census that's going to take place in Sefer Bamidbar in Parashat Pinchas, but that's going to be 40 years later. Because unfortunately, there's tragedy that strikes in the middle of Parshat Va'alotha and in Parshat Shlach. We know that all of the preparations that are now taking place for the march into Eretz Yisrael are tragically going to be aborted. It's going to come to an end. The Jews are going to complain. Moshe is going to send spies. And we know, of course, that we suffer from that terrible, terrible situation, not by no one's until today. But right now, there's the euphoria of preparation for the Great March. And number one, a census is taken. And on its simplest level, everybody from age 20 to 60 who are Yotzei Tzava, who go out to war, are the ones that are being counted. Moshe Rabbeinu has to know how many divisions does Klal Yisrael have? That's why there is a census. If following the census, the Jewish people are going to be organized into degalim. They are going to be organized into four groups of three tribes each. And each one of the three tribes, each one of these four groups is going to be positioned around the camp of the Levim, and they're going to journey and march through the desert in an extremely organized fashion. I'm telling you all of this because in the Degolim, in the list of the tribes,
Thank you.
In the list, we, there's one thing, one word, one little word that seems to create a problem. And when you find one little word that creates a problem, you know it may very well have one word that's telling us a world of information. Sheet number one is speaking already. The first group of three is Degel Machane Yehuda, the camp of Yehuda. The second is Degel Machane Reuven. On the top of the page it's Reuven. And then Tosek Yudbet, Vachonim Arav. Who are the ones that are in camp with Reuven? Shimon, and then God. In three of the four Degelim, it's going to tell us who is the head of the Degel. And then those who are encamped with him. And how is the word encamped with him written? V'achonim olav. Now the word v'achonim olav means those who are encamped with him. Meaning, of course, that the head of the Degel, the head of the camp, is the significant one, and the others are secondary. They are primary, and he is secondary, and they are secondary. Pasuk Yud Chet, Degel Machane Ephraim, the camp of Ephraim, Litzivotam, Yomar, each one has a direction, in other words, a point, north, east, west, south, around the Mishkan. Degel Machane Ephraim. Okay. Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk 20. V'olav Mate Menashe. And on him is the camp, the tribe of Menashe. In all, in the three other cases, it says V'hachonim olav. Only one place does it say V'olav. And on him is Menashe. Why the change? There's something about this that is just, things have gone awry. It's different. It's maybe even irksome. That was not the pattern. There was such a beautiful pattern for each one of the four camps, and the pattern is simply broken over here. That means by the other three camps, it tells us who is the head, and those who are encamped with him, Vachonim Olav, except when it comes to Ephraim, it says V'olav Mate Menashe. Wow. That's one. Two. Oh, two is the back of page one. How very convenient. Number two is Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas. All right. That's one of the things that went wrong. You see the top of the page? L'mishpachotam Menashe ve'Ephraim. Now wait. The pasuk begins two words earlier that should have been included on this page, but I didn't. So I'm going to include them right now. The pasuk begins by saying, B'nei Yosef, the sons of Yosef, L'mishpachotam Menashe ve'Ephraim. All right? Remember, this is the second census in Sefer Bamidbar. It's 40 years later, or to be more precise, it's 39 years later. Now Jews are really preparing for the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Now there are two problems here. B'nei Yosef, the sons of Yosef, who's mentioned first? Menashe. And Ephraim is second. in the Golim that we had in Parashat Bamidbar, who is the head of the Degel? The head of the Degel is Ephraim. In Pinchas, Menashe Ephraim. Pasuk 29 is B'nai Menashe, and then we go to Ela B'nai Ephraim. Okay?
Yeah.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
No?
I don't fight. Okay. Now, so we have two problems. No, why make it two problems? Yeah, well, B'nai Yosef, the sons of Yosef, from Menashe and Ephraim.
Yeah.
Okay? So Menashe precedes Ephraim. In the Degolim, the head of the Degel was Ephraim, and who was secondary? Maybe Menashe. Even though, of course, the strange terminology that was used was Va'olah, and on him is Mata Menashe. Let's go to page 3.
We finished page 1?
We finished page 2.
What is the
problem
that you
can find? Well, wait, if you want to know what Va'olah means, then you want to know the piece de resistance of the Shiur? You can't expect that right now. And by the way, you will appreciate it even more when you get it at the time that I choose to say it. In the middle of Sefer Bamidbar, I just now gave you something in Parshas Bamidbar. I gave you something in Parshas Pinchas. And I'm going to take you to the middle of Sefer Bamidbar, Parshat Shlach, sending the Meraglim. And there you have the page. It's number 3. You have the page. Pasuk Chet says, Lemate Ephraim, from the tribe of Ephraim, who was sent? Hoshea bin Nun. Look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. What in heaven's name is happening here? Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe, Gadi ben Susi, from the tribe of Yosef, the tribe of Menashe, Gadi ben Susi. Pray tell me, in what way is Menashe more from the family of Yosef than Ephraim is? Did you get that? That's a very strange thing. Lemate Ephraim, Hoshea bin Nun, Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe. Take a look at Pesukim 8, and then at Pasuk Yud Aleph, and there is the, it's staring you in the face. The tribe of Ephraim is Hoshea bin Nun. The tribe of Yosef, the tribe of Menashe, is Gadi ben Susi, and Ephraim is not Yosef. Alright? Very conveniently, page number 4 is the second side of page number 3.
Yeah, but I don't understand the problem.
What don't you understand? I want to make sure that all my students understand.
What?
Who represents the tribe of Ephraim amongst the Meraglim? Who represents it? Read Pasuk Ches. Very good. Now take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, is it? Let me ask you, who was Ephraim's father?
Yosef.
So why doesn't it say Lamate Yosef, Lamate Ephraim? Why does it only say...
It does say Lamate
Yosef.
No,
it does not say that. Lamate Ephraim? Lamate Ephraim is Hoshea bin Nun. Why doesn't it say in Pasuk 8, Lamate Yosef, Lamate Ephraim? You got it?
Yeah.
Just say you got it.
You got it.
You got it.
I got the problem.
You got the problem.
Sorry.
So of course, in order to resolve this, what we have to do is go back to a very, very fascinating parasha in Torah, and that's in Parasha Vayechi. Yaakov is coming toward the end of his life, and Yosef brings his two children to be blessed by Yaakov. Now, it's in order to resolve our problems in Parshas Bamidbar, Shlach, and Pinchas, we're going to have to go back to the root of it all. And it says, let's begin from the top of the page, Pasuk 13, page 4, Pasuk 13. Vayikach Yosef et shneihem, Yosef took them both, et Ephraim b'yamino, Ephraim in his right hand, which corresponds to the left hand of Yisrael, that Menashe b'shmolo, and Menashe with his left hand, which corresponds to the right hand of Yaakov, by their Yesh Elov, and he brought them to him. You got the picture? Good. By Yishlach Yisrael Adimino, Yisrael sent out his right hand and he placed it al Rosh Ephraim. Now, if he would have just placed his hands this way, then his right would have been on Menashe and his left would have been on Ephraim. But that's not what he did. He crossed his hands so that his right hand is on the head of Ephraim and his left hand is on the head of Menashe.
Because he was a baby.
No, Behu Hatzah Ir. And Ephraim, very good. Behu Hatzah Ir. And Ephraim is the younger one. Vet Smolo, and his left hand, he put Al Rosh Menashe. Sikel et Yadav. Sikel et Yadav. His hands, or he had his hands act with
Seichel.
Targum. Yonatan says with Chochmah. Ki Menashe Abachor. Because Menashe is the firstborn. Little strange terminology. Because Menashe is the firstborn, then his right hand should have been on Menashe, but that's not what he did. By the Baruch of Yosef, and he told Yosef, Hamalach Hakoyelot Mikol Ra, etc., etc. Passing down at the bottom, by Yad Yosef. Yosef saw Ki Yashit Ovid Yad Yivino Arosh Ephraim. When he sees that Yaakov has placed his right hand on Ephraim, it was better. So what he does now is he wants to gently take his father's hands and straighten them out so that the right should be on Menashe and the left on Ephraim. The pasuk goes on to say, you don't have the rest of it, you don't need it, but I'll read exactly what the what the pasuk says. You see, I come prepared with a chumash. By Yomi Yosef says to his father, Lo kein avi, not so my father, ki zeh habechor, Menashe is the bechor, simi mincha rosho, put your right hand on his head. By Yomain aviv, and his father refused. And he said, Yadati b'ni yadati. I know my son. What do you think? The old man doesn't know already between his left hand and his right hand anymore. The old man knows exactly what's going on. Gam hu yelam. Menashe is also going to be a great people. The gam hu yitav. He's also going to be great. V'ulam, however, achiv hakaton yitav minen. His younger brother is going to be greater than him. Ephraim is going to be greater than Menashe. The Zadok Yehiyel Lo HaKoyim and his children are coming to fill the world. The Netziv, Chad Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. Volozhin was the great yeshiva of the 19th century in Europe. For tragic or, well, many debatable circumstances, the yeshiva closed, I think, either 1888 or 1892. Rabbi, this is for you, understand? That Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, his son, was Mayor Berlin. We're talking about the whole family of Gedolim, so we're all related to the Netziv, and what you have in front of you is the parish Hamikdor of the Netziv HaKodesh. So the Netziv is the one who asks a very fascinating question. If Menashe is not going to be as great as Ephraim, and Ephraim is going to be greater then why didn't Yaakov simply say, friends, do me a favor, don't take it personally. Could you please move over to the left side? Ephraim, could you please move over to the right side? Standing, he permits them to remain. Ephraim on the left and Manasseh on the right. What he does is he moves his hands in such a way that his right hand is on Ephraim, who's standing on the left, and his left hand is on Manasseh's head, who's standing on the right. Why he doesn't the Bavar Hashayas and Chavra do me a favor? Please switch places. Therefore, the Netziv establishes as a principle that Manasseh and Ephraim both possess greatness. But there's a difference between the greatness of Ephraim and the greatness of Manasseh. And he uses two prime examples. The example that he uses for Ephraim is Yehoshua ben Nun. The example that he uses for Manasseh is one of the Shoftim, Gideon. Gideon was from the tribe of Manasseh. Gideon is one to whom God appears, first through Ramallah, but God himself appears to Gideon at a time that the Jewish people are suffering terrible under the yoke of Bnei Ammon, and Gideon is even the one who challenges God by saying, listen, where are all the miracles that we heard about from our fathers? Take a look at how downtrodden the Jewish people are. Why don't you come and help them? So you think God gets upset? Another version says, Leif b'kohach hazeh, go with this great strength of yours. Chazal said, Rashi brings it on the spot in Shoftim. B'kohach hazeh shelomadeto sanigoria al banai. You have offended my sons. The Rebbeinu doesn't want people who find all sorts of fault with the Jewish people. There are unfortunately enough anti-Semites in the world that find fault with us. What he wants from Kleinerskull is that we should find not fault, favor. We should see the good things in Kleinerskull, because there are enough guys out there who are finding all of the terrible things. Okay. Gideon was not a great scholar. Gideon was not known as an extremely pious individual. I'm sure he was a Yid, he was a Shem Tehu Mitzvahs. He put on talis and tefillin every day, was trying to learn Daf Yomi. I'm sure that he was a good Jew, but he was not a great leader of the spirit of the Jewish people. But he was a military leader. That's right. He was able to organize the Jewish people, go out to war, and then ultimately defend themselves against their enemies and vanquish the enemies. That's a great kayach. Manasseh had that talk. Yehoshua ben Nun, of course, was also a great general, but that's not what he's remembered for. Yehoshua ben Nun's great contribution is Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai. Moshe received Torah from Sinai, who was Sodali Yehoshua, and he gave it to Yehoshua. Yehoshua is Na'ar Lo Yom Ishu Toch Ha'ola. For 40 years, Yehoshua is the one who is in the tent of Moshe. When Moshe comes down from the mountain, the first person he sees is Yehoshua. Yehoshua is the one who becomes the alter ego of Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the one who stands in those great footsteps of Moshe. The father of Kabbalah, of all of, the Mesorah, the transmission of Torah, comes through Yehoshua. So therefore, the Netziv says, now you can understand. There are two different kinds of powers that people have, two different talents. There's the talent of leadership, and then there's the talent of spiritual leadership. These are two different talents. They don't necessarily have to be found in the self-same person. So therefore, he says, in English, it comes out so good. As far as standing with 2 feet on solid ground, Menashe is greater than Ephraim. Therefore, he doesn't ask Menashe, please walk over to the left side, Ephraim to the right. No. In terms of leadership, Christ, an army, a medina, a kalkala, an economy, I'm always amazed at the post office. I get upset with all of these people who still, 100 years from now, they're still going to be walking around with envelopes in their pockets, stamped with an American stamp, to find somebody who's going to America to drop it into America. Right. Takes you a month to find somebody. You could have used a beautiful Israeli stamp, and sent it immediately off, and it would have been there already, and by the time you find somebody, they're all crumpled up already. We have a post office that works. I go into the post office and I say, you can give them a letter and it's going to arrive. It's amazing. Okay. By the way, I even had them once trace a letter for me to the United States. I sent something, registered? You want to know the truth? They lost it in America, but it left Eretz Yisrael on time. This was a correspondence that went on. It was a big check that I had to send to somebody. They messed it up in America.
Is another example. I think it's very good. The zip code in Matzdorf, I think, is the same. There's one in California.
Yeah.
And you can write Israel as big as you want. It's gone to California. So I delete the zip now when I send it to Yerushalayim. It shouldn't go to California.
Anybody make a mistake between Matzdorf and California? The important thing is there are two separate and distinct powers. They don't necessarily have to exist within the self-same person. It does happen. Yahushua, by the way, had both of these great powers. But in terms of the difference between Menashe and Ephraim, Menashe is the one, when it comes down to getting things done, Menashe's power is greater. His talent is greater than Ephraim. When it comes to Torah and matters of the spirit, Ephraim is the one who's greater. So therefore, now, it's very simple. So he explains, and then Siv explains. As far as standing on terra firma, Menashe on the right, Ephraim on the left. As far as the head is concerned, there's a big difference. Their Ephraim is going to be greater than Menashe. Which is now, therefore, with this alone, we're going to be able to, we're going to go back to page one. We're going to retrace our steps and use our heads. Something like that. That was very nice. Okay? That's what we're going to do. There's a big difference between the census that takes place in Bamidbar, this week's Zedra, and the census that's going to take place in Pinchas. Not only do 39 years separate the two, but there are two completely different worlds. Klal Yisrael in Parshas Bamidbar are preparing themselves for an entry into Eretz Yisrael that is going to be absolutely miraculous. The Aron is going to go before them. Where is the moment after which the great tragedy befalls the Jewish people? In Parashat Baralotcha, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayihibin Soa Aron Vayomer Moshe, as the Aron began to journey. This is it. Everything is prepared for the thrust into Eretz Israel. And as the Aron began to march, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kuma Hashem, arise, O God, Yochutsu, Oyevechom, may all your enemies be dispersed. V'yalusu v'san echom v'parem, and those who hate you shall flee from before you. This is God waging war with his enemies. We're talking now not about a Jewish army that's going to enter Eretz Israel in the way in which any other army enters battle. This is going to be a battle the sorts of which has never taken place in all of history. Because they are entering Eretz Israel with the might of God, with Aron, with Mishkan. So when the census is taken over here, and that the Golem are set up, who rises? Who is higher? Obviously, Ephraim is higher than Menashe, because we're talking about a spiritual entry into Eretz Israel. But says the Nitziv, the Torah didn't want to leave the impression that Menashe is completely secondary to Ephraim. If it would have said with regard to Menashe, V'achonim olav, as it's said by all the other three, it would have left the impression that Menashe is absolutely, completely, and totally secondary to Ephraim. Ephraim is primary, and Menashe is secondary. So the Torah, a word, V'olav Mate Menashe. For all of Mate Menashe means, wait a minute, Ephraim is great, but there are areas in which Menashe rises higher than Ephraim. What a beautiful, beautiful shot. So then, that took place, that's page one. But the second census, which appears on page two, this is not a Kohen Yisrael. This is the census that takes place in Parashas Pinchos 39 years later, and Jews are getting ready to enter Eretz Yisrael as a warring army. B'derech HaTeva, they're going to go in the natural order of things. In the natural order of things, who stands higher? Who has 2 feet on terra firma? Who is the one that has powers of leadership greater than the other? Menashe stands first. And therefore, on page two, we have the children of Yosef, top line. Do you know who they are? Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe precedes Ephraim, because we're talking now about an entry into Eretz Israel that is going to be, ultimately, for all of history, it's going to be the Derech HaTeva. Therefore, Menashe precedes Ephraim. Page three. Where does the change take place? Where does the miraculous give way to the natural? Where does the supernatural entry into Eretz Israel fade before what's going to be a normal entry into Eretz Israel with the miraculous? Because here, the Nitziv asks another question. By what right did Moshe Rabbeinu have to send Morocco? What are you talking about? You know who the commander-in-chief is? Hashem, the Rebbeinu. He is Mefakeh Tzva Milchama. He's the commander-in-chief. That's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. God himself is the commander-in-chief. What are you sending Morocco for? What do you need it for? So the Nitziv says, you know why you need it? If the original plan of Bamidbar Noso in Ba'alotcha, which was that the entry into Eretz Yisrael should be a supernatural one, Nisi, as he calls it, a miraculous one, no need for miracle. That's been aborted. Jews are not going to enter. They complained they needed Basar. All sorts of things happened there at the end of Parashat Balakha. So they're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael in a manner of Nes. They're going to enter Eretz Yisrael Derech HaTeva, or certainly the battle or the struggle of the Jewish people for all of history is going to be a battle b'derech hatecha, but with hashgacha pratis, are you wrong? Hashgacha pratis. So what's the purpose of sending Menachem? The purpose of sending Menachem is so that we should know how we are going to enter Eretz Yisrael b'derech hateva, in the natural order of things. In the natural order of things, who represents Yosef? Menashe represents Yosef. And therefore, Lemate Ephraim is Hoshea ben Nun. For Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe, because who is the one that represents Yosef? Because Yosef, the fact is that Yosef had both of these talents. Yosef was Yosef HaTzadik, and Yosef, of course, was most probably the greatest administrator this world has ever seen. He took a world that was about to, disappear from famine and hunger, and he was able to organize all of the Middle East or the known world at the time and save that world. Yosef is not only Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef is Hamashbir, a Mashbir that doesn't go bankrupt. That's what he is. That's what the Torah calls him.
But that's why they needed us tour guides.
That's why they needed guides. That's why they needed, yes. Okay. Take a look on, we're on page 3. Now move to the extreme left-hand side. Very fascinating that we're going to talk about Menashe on the left-hand side. The second column in the Ha'amidahar, you'll see in the middle it says, Prosecute Aleph, Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe. Michal Kol Zera Yosef, or Shevet Menashe. All of the children of Yosef are called Mate Menashe, below Mate Ephraim, Mate Ephraim, V'hu Mishum, and that is because Shekran is Bar Le'el. It has already been explained earlier in Beis Chav. That's the pasuk of V'achomim Olav in Parashat Bamidbar. V'achom Gash Ephraim V'yokod Kodem L'Menashe, B'nin and Mishum, even though Ephraim precedes Menashe in the first senses, because then, in Parashat Bamidbar, the conduct of the Jewish people was going to be one of miracle. But when they had decided, or the change was taking place, and they were now going to move and act according to the way of nature, Menashe was greater than Ephraim. And Shumachim, therefore, the Minyan Parshas Pinchas, in the census of Parshas Pinchas, Minne Menashe Chilal Ephraim, Menashe is before Ephraim. Me'ato, now we can understand Khan, here in Parshas Shlach, Shebikshu Nikonez Bo Hateva, when they wanted now to enter the world of nature, also Iker Lamate Menashe, Menashe becomes the main force. V'nikro all of Kol Mate Yosef, all of Yosef is called according to Menashe. So first of all, the whole pshat in these four different parshiot, beginning with Vayikri through Bamidbar, Shlach, Pinchas, it's a very, very beautiful pshat. That's not all. So far, this is not shown at all. And what we've really got, we've got the picture of what's going to say Bamidbar is going to be about. Say that the midbar is going to begin on the high of the first senses, then there's going to be a terrible drop in Parshat Bahalocha and in Shlach, until ultimately 39 years later, things are going to level out and Jews are going to prepare for the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Now comes the chart. There's another page.
Isn't there, Joe? Yeah.
More in Baba Basra. You see where it's underlined? All right. The Santi Kadkod Shimsho Taira. Listen to this Gemara very, very carefully. Yeshayahu is describing what Yerushalayim is going to look like in time to come. I mean, of course, there is absolutely no mere coincidence that I'm talking about a Gemara about Yerushalayim with 2 days to go to Yerushalayim, the young Yerushalayim. Okay? And the children, and I don't think I'm beginning to think, and I may even have something intelligent to say. It may very well fit in to everything that we've said up until now. The Sonti Karkot Shishotayas is one of the haftarot of between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. All right, so of course I'm not going to find it when precisely when I need it, but the important thing about this, your cap code, and the Gemara lists different kinds of gems out of which the walls and the windows of Yerushalayim are going to be built in time to come. Amazing things that are going to take place. He says, it's something called Shimshotayach. There are some say Shimshotayach means your windows, it can be your walls, they're going to be made out of karkot. Listen to the Gemara. Rav Shulban Achmeni said, Pliki Tre Malachi Virikia. There are two angels in heaven who disagree. You understand? You haven't heard too many differences of opinion between angels. And here's one. Two angels in heaven. One of them is Gabriel, and the other is Michael. And you know what? Of all the fascinating things, the same difference of opinion exists between two Amoroi b'Ma'arova. Ma'arova is Eretz Yisrael. Two Amoroi, two rabbis of the Amoroic period, following the Mishnah. Same machlokas, a machlokas in heaven and a machlokas on earth. And who uman inun? And who are the two? Who are the two rabbis who dispute the question? Yehuda v'Chizkiya b'nei Rabbi Chiya. Yehuda and Chizkiya, the sons of Rabbi Chiya. I think it's very interesting that it's two brothers, you understand, who disagree. Chad Omar Shoham v'Chad Omar Yoshbei. The machloket is what kind of a katkod. Is it Shoham or Yoshbei? The gems that were used in the Choshen Mishpat, yes, one row was Tarshish, Shoham, and Yoshbei. Shoham and Yoshbei. Yeah, what is it? Is the Oren Kodesh up there, the Parochus? Is that supposed to be sort of, are they groups of 12? Yes.
Yeah.
They're groups of 12. Because the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol had 12 gems. One for each one of the tribes. And on each one of these gems was engraved the name of a tribe. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. So the machloket between Gabriel and Michael, and between the two sons of Rabbi Chiya, Yehuda and Chizkiya, cat code. Is cat code Shoham or is cat code Yoshbei? Amru HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them? Lehem Kedem Uchadem. You know what? Gabriel, you're right. Michael, you're right. Chizki, you're right. Yehuda, you're right. The Chabitzin is also right. Everybody's right. Kedain u kedain. Like this one and that one. Like this one and that one is kedain u kedain. What word can you make out of kedain u kedain? Kav kod.
Oh.
The Santi Kav kod Shimshotayim. Yes, you know what? It's going to be Shoham and Yoshbei. Which tribe was Shoham? Yosef was Shoham. The tribe of Yosef, Shoham. Shoham was a gem that was white, brilliant white gem. Yoshpe was Binyamin. Rabbi Chaim says that it was all sorts of colors, multicolored, colors of the rainbow. Why is Binyamin the tribe of Yoshpe? Why is his gem Yoshpe? So Chazal tell us about Binyamin. Binyamin Yesh Peh. He has a mouth. What does it mean he has a mouth? There was a greatness in Binyamin. Binyamin knew that the brothers had sold his blood brother Yosef into slavery. And he maintained silence. He had a mouth and he remained quiet. He wasn't going to say a word.
How did you know? He was not among the brothers.
He was not amongst the brothers. So first of all, when Chazal tells me, when they tell us that he knows, then it was a way. Yitzchak, Chazal say that Yitzchak knew. He wasn't there either. Yitzchak knew. And Binyamin is called, his gem is Yoshpe, Yeshpe, but he remained silent. Because remember,
the name
of
the sons after it.
I can't hear.
He named his sons after it, though.
He named his sons after his brother Yosef. But he never walked over to Yaakov Avinu and said, "Huh, do you know what your church fellow did over there? Do you know what they did?" He never did. I mean, obviously, why didn't he do it? I mean, so this goes back to a number of shiurim that I said years ago. There's a famous, there's a famous medrash we've talked about years ago. One of these days, maybe we'll have to go back to that medrash. The fact that there was, after they had sold Yosef, so Ruhem said, "Let us proclaim a ban of excommunication, a chedem, on anybody who's going to tell father. Nobody can tell father." And they all agreed to the chedem. So one of the brothers said, "Wait a minute, there are only 9 of us here, and the Chayrim needs a minion in order to be established." So Yehuda said, "We're going to co-opt the Rebbeinu, and he's going to be that same Tetzet minion, the Tetzet minion." And the Rebbeinu said, "Yes, he's going to be the Tetzet minion." Then it says, later that night, Reuven returned, and he went to the pit to take Yosef out of the pit, and he didn't find him there. So he comes to his brothers and say, "I yelled on Einenu, the boys in Devani, what's going to happen with me?" They told him the Maisa, they told him what had happened, and they told him of the ban of excommunication, and he accepted it upon himself. He's not going to remain silent. And Yitzchak, the Rebbe says, "No," and he remains silent. V'ach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though with regard to all other things it says, Magid Devarov Liyakov, Chukov Umishpatov Liyisrael, he tells things to Yaakov. Dova said this thing he never said to him. Binyamin also knows, and Binyamin remains silent. There's a certain great strength that's involved in his ability to maintain silence under such frightening conditions. But we have to get back to the Gemara. What's this machlokes all about? What's the machlokes between Gabriel and Michal? What's the machlokes between Yehuda and Cheskia, the children of Rav Chiya? What the stones of Yerushalayim are going to be made with? Is it going to be with Shoham, or is it going to be with Yashpe? And the Rav Shalom is the one who comes in and says, you're all right. Everybody's right. Obviously, what we have to understand in this medrash is the character of Yerushalayim La'atid Lavo. What's it going to be like? What is going to be the driving force in Yerushalayim? Is it going to be the force of Yosef? Is it going to be built through the power of Yosef? Or through the power of Binyamin? how are we going to differentiate between Yosef and Yom Hidkons and Shalom the God? We can take a look at Yosef in a number of ways. Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef is also the great administrator, the men of Halichot Olam. When it comes to the Koach of Menashe, that Menashe had in his ability to build, to act, to fight, to stand up for Klal Yisrael with great strength and determination, that was Menashe. Now remember, I'm not confused. Menashe and Ephraim both received their strengths from Yosef. Yosef was both. Yosef was Menashe, and Yosef was Ephraim. Yosef is the one who was Yosef HaTzadik, and that's how he gets the Yehoshua ben Nun. Yosef was also the great administrator, the great builder, and therefore he has a son like Menashe. We'll get back to a moment what their contributions are going to be. What's Binyamin? What do we know of Binyamin? Binyamin, the mother says in the Sefer Shabbos, there are four people who died at Yoshel Nachash. There are four people who died only because of the sin of the Nachash, the serpent, because God brought death upon the world, because in terms of their deeds, there was absolutely no aveda that they ever did in their lives for which they have to be punished. And one of those was Binyamin. Binyamin was Tzadik Yisod Olam. What's happening over here in the Gemara is, what is going to be the power by which Yerushalayim is going to be built? Is Yerushalayim going to be built through piety and tzidkus? Is that alone enough? Or is Yerushalayim going to have to be built with great strength, with great determination, with the ability or the determination, if necessary, to fight for every stone of this city? The machlokes between Gabriel and Michael, Gabriel says, not one inch of Yerushalayim. Gabriel is the gibor. Gabriel is the fighter. Gabriel says, divide this city, perish the fort. Give anybody else in this world a drisas hadegel? In this city? Not of my life, Gabriel says. Michael is also not ready to give up any part of his life. But he sees that the nature and the character of Yerushalayim is going to be created by its great people, by its Moses HaTorah, maybe even a Haredi mayor of Yerushalayim. And this is not, I have not yet decided who I'm voting for. He sees Yerushalayim in a sense as a Yerushalayim Shalmala. This is Yerushalayim Shalmala. That's Mechuvin, that corresponds to the Yerushalayim Shalmala. Yerushalayim is going to be built not with bricks and stones. with Dafim Gemara, with Shirei Torah, with Tehillim. That's what Yerushalayim is all about. Don't tell me anything about that. Spend money in Yerushalayim on flowers in the streets. So what if the streets are not cleaned every day? Kedushas Yerushalayim is the ruchnius of Yerushalayim. Gabriel says, oh no. We're going to stand strong for this city. The city is going to be built with Jewish power. That's how it's going to be built. Michael says, it's going to be built with Jewish spiritual power. Yehuda and Chizkiah, the sons of Rav Chiya, have the same machlokes. Because they say, they have a machlokes, what gems are going to build the walls of Yerushalayim? Is it going to be Sham or is it going to be Yashpeh? if it's going to be Shoham, the one who holds Shoham holds, we needed an administrator like Yosef that's going to turn this place from a Hara Moria into a Silicon Valley, you understand? This is going to be economic power. It's going to be a great city. There are going to be skyscrapers over here. You understand? About 6-7 stories tall in Harlem. This is going to be a powerful city. And then Binyamin, who is Yoshebe, says, and maybe we can say, there's a pair, there's a mouth to study Torah. Shiras HaLashon, sanctity, holiness. Till the Rebbeinu Shem comes and he says, kindle up.
By the
Zanigarech. You think that you're going to build a Yerushalayim without Jewish strength and determination and Jewish power? What are you talking about? You're going to build Yerushalayim with Kepitach Tilim? Give me a break. You're going to have both. You're going to need Gavriel, and you're going to need Michoel. You're going to need Shoham. And fascinatingly enough, I think it's also the Rabbeinu Bechaya that says Yosef's stone was Shoham, because Shoham is Osios Hashem. Whatever Yosef built and created with his might and his strength, it was L'shem Hashem. So the Rosh Hashanah says, Chevra, you're going to have to fight for Yerushalayim. You're going to have to stand strong for Yerushalayim. There are going to be people throughout Jews, throughout history, who are going to give up their lives for my Yerushalayim. There is no such thing as a Yerushalayim being built on Ruchnius alone. It's going to be both. It's going to be, ultimately, of course, Al Chomotayet Yerushalayim, if Kabbati Shomri, Koharyon the Koharlaila. On your walls, Yerushalayim, I have appointed guardians, Koharyon the Koharlaila. I hope I'm not making it up, but if I am, it's very good. The Shomrim, and I think it's a Medrash, the Shomrim will say, the Medrash says that the Shomrim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed of Yerushalayim are Gavriel and Michoel. Gavriel and Michoel are the ones. We need a strong Yerushalayim. We need a Klal Yisrael that is strong and nothing whatsoever will sway them, regardless of what you hear in the streets of Yerushalayim. We're going to have to fight for Yerushalayim. We're going to have to be stronger now than we have ever been before. But at the very same time, we're building a Yerushalayim that's supposed to have a content that's different than any other city on the face of this earth. I have a big problem in Harnov. I can't stand seeing dirt or paper on the streets, which of course would mean for me to get the three buildings from my house to shul every morning. It would be extremely difficult. It would take me a half an hour or an hour to pick up every... It's a problem. So they, on Agassi Street, they say it's the wind, most probably, that brings it from Rechavia. I wouldn't drop a piece of paper on my living room. It would be Sakonis Nefashis. I think my wife would let me drop a piece of paper on the wall of my living room. Now the truth is I wouldn't do it myself. Yerushalayim is our living room. Yerushalayim cannot simply be built on a Gavriel-like. It has to be a joining and a fusion of Gavriel and Michoel. It has to be Gashmius and Ruchnius. It has to be great strength and determination. And it also has to be full with a sense of spirituality, that this is different. The kind of things that can take place in other cities just don't belong here. And we have Hashem, the Rav Yom. First of all, we have to look forward to is the day that all of Klal Yisrael will recognize that there is a great celebration called Yom Yerushalayim. I'm not going to take one more minute. First time after the Six-Day War, I came with my wife, and there was some Yeshiva University Rebbe who was with us, and he was very firm, really very firm. And then, we got to talking about the Yom Yerushalayim, it was only 2 years. I'm going to tell you two stories. I'm sorry. You're just going to wait? You have to go. I'm going to tell you, there's one story from my friend DeVos. I'll tell you the whole Nimdal story. First of all, this Rosh Shiva of Yeshiva University lived in San Yeshiva Mises, this girl, what kind of young is Yom Yerushalayim. I have gotten a smicha from Rabbi Yashiv. Don't tell nobody, nobody will believe you. Don't even bother to tell her. So I go, this is 1969. I don't know if anybody knew of a man called Rabbi Yashiv, but I did. So I told this Russian friend, let's go ask Rabbi Yashiv. So I talked to Rabbi Yashiv. It was pretty easy to get in there. You didn't have to go through all the phalanxes of politicals all around it. I get in. So we each present our case. So he looks at my friend and he says, you're sitting in the United States of America. For 19 years, we had to look toward the old city of Yerushalayim and the Kotel, unable to go to daven there. Do you know how pain that was for us? How can we begin to understand the joy of the day on which Yerushalayim and the Kotel will be created? Do you understand it? Story two. Don't let this thing get back to
you. To who?
To Torah. This was Yom Yerushalayim, 1968. I was principal of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael of Torah. I was sitting on the dining room table for lunch, and the whole staff had, most of our 10, 12 people staff, and then, the others, the students. So at the table, I was trying to convince the staff that we should mark a year since Shechrur Yerushalayim. We should mark it. We should sing. We should dance. We should do something. They made such short shrift of me, you understand, like they rubbed me into the ground. Sphira. Okay? Sphira. Singing, dance. You should know, sometimes you have to wait in life about 50 years until you see justice done. Sadiqim see justice done immediately. Right after this sphere zap that they gave me, and with the whole staff against me. And all of a sudden we hear a noise at the door of the dining room. One of the brothers in the yeshiva comes in and he announces he's become a chosin. Oh, he starts at the hallway, he starts dancing. And all the rebellion at the table are dancing away. Here now. Paul sits there. I sit there. They all come back out of the stand and they're wiping their brows. I peeped it. They all sit down. And I just looked at the whole table and I said, that's when I called over a few boys and I told them, listen, I want you to know that if you're going to dance L'chvod Yom Yerushalayim, nobody's going to be marked absent for missing any classes of general studies. The first three periods that morning, that afternoon, right after lunch, three periods, the whole yeshiva danced.
You know, the secret ingredient in the challah is the Yehi Ratzon. So.